Welcome everybody back to another episode of Strip Draw. Just me and Josh today. Me being Cam. I'm Cam, so yeah.
Cam. Oh, they might be able to see you too.
Yeah, yeah.
If this is one of
those. This might be a funnier one. Just Josh and I. We can't really take much serious. So, I had the idea, or we had the idea as a team, to create a series. So I'm gonna be. This is the first one, obviously. I'm going to be kind of interviewing as the youngest in the group, the 10 commandments of being a man, kind of the rules that each of us live by, to make our way through lives, to be better men, you know, whatever it be, whatever kind of sparks them. I didn't give much as a topic, just 10 commandments. So, may not be a full 10, but okay. Awesome.
Yeah. I got 8.
10's a lot, eight commandments doesn't roll off the tongue, right? So that's the plan. This should be a pretty good series, hopefully. I'm excited for this one in particular because it's the first one, but I'm excited for Fred's. This should be a wild one.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's got
15. I got 27, baby. 27 right here for you. But yeah, so we'll get started. Josh has his list, and we'll just kind of work our way down.
I got some notes. Yeah, I got a great memory, as everyone knows. So I like to write things down.
All right, let's get started on number one.
Yeah, well, no particular order. It's kind of just as I was thinking of them, I wrote them down. But right on the top, I have loyalty.
So just loyalty, okay. And
you know, just loyalty in general.
Well, I was going to be maybe at the end. I'd be interested to know maybe your top three. You know, which ones are the one that hit the hardest. But we'll save that. Yeah,
I think I can do that. Yeah. Well, I have loyalty to friends and family. You know, don't just like be around when everything's going good. You know. Like when things are bad, when someone's in their worst spot, you need to be there too. You can't just hang around them when, you know, when you can get something from them. You have to also be able to give them you know, whatever they need, really.
And I mean, I think there's something to be said that, like, I don't know if expecting is the right word, but expecting loyalty and like giving yourself loyalty to the fact that, like, you're not going to let people flake and walk on you and give your time. I think that's another, might be another layer of it. That's just what I first think of.
It's all about choosing your circle, you know, like you're not going to be loyal to everyone you meet, and you shouldn't be. You should have that small circle. Maybe it's a large circle. I know yours is probably a lot bigger than mine, but you know, your small circle of people that you would, you know, go to war with, you know, like, you know, if they need something, you're a phone call away, you know, just
and I know the reason I brought up the order thing, because I know loyalty is big for you. So that's probably why it was the first thing to hit your list. Just from the talks that we've had, which I agree with, I think loyalty goes hand in hand with respect a lot of times. I don't know. Maybe this is the young selfishness coming out of me again, but I look at being loyal to others for me is easy, and it just kind of comes naturally. The thing I really look at is making sure that the people that I'm surrounding myself are being loyal to me as well.
Yeah. That's where that doormat comes in. You say it comes easy to you, but it can be abused really quick. People can take advantage of you. You know, if you're a nice guy.
Me, a nice guy now. Yeah. All right, yeah, so number two.
Yeah. Number two, like I said, no order, but forgiveness. I think that's a big one. I mean, not only like spiritually, but like just in your day-to-day, you know, being able to forgive yourself, forgive others. You know, you're going to make mistakes in life. So it's important to be able to like address those issues, fix a problem if there's a problem, and then just, you know, get over it, forgive yourself so you can get on with life. You know, life's not going to stop just because you gotta, you know, you're sad about something, a regret you had or something. So it's important to, you know, forgive yourself and move on so you can, you know, get back on that train and just.
Yeah. I think people overlook that part of forgiveness a lot. Think about, especially like biblically and everything, forgiveness is about what other people have done to you and all this stuff. But I mean, on this whole platform of, you know, if you're watching this, you're trying to help yourself most likely. And the first step of that is really letting go of what you may have done to yourself or other people if need be in the past. I mean, yeah, that's a, that's building blocks of progressing. And so if you can't do that, you can't.
Absolutely. Yeah. And it moves on to, like, you know, forgiving, not only just forgiving yourself, but forgiving others, kind of for the same reasons. You know, you can't sit around and mope about, oh, they did this, they did that. You just gotta, you know, if it was something crazy, you know, who knows, but, for the day-to-day things, you got to talk it out, forgive the person, move on. If you want to keep that relationship, you can make those decisions. But it kind of rolls into communication, which one's my next one, you know, when it comes to talking through those things. You know? Would you like to hear communication?
Definitely. I might have a lot to say, but, you know, that's my hot word. That's my button word.
Well, if you got a if you, you know, got any thoughts on communication, now's the time.
I mean,
we're rolling.
Man, communication since the beginning of this, I kind of claimed that, I don't know, that action, I guess, early on, it really hit me hard. And it, like, that's one of the things that really, really changed my, like, life and relationships. I mean, even down to, like, at work with us, you know, but primarily, like, when I first came into that, I was starting my relationship with my now fiance, and that whole theory of just communication over everything made the best foundation possible. Just everything in the open, anything's talked about, you know, do your best to not have arguments, have discussions kind of thing. So relationally is such a big thing. I mean, professionally, there's just, I feel like day to day, there's so much that's left in the dark or left to interpretation. And, you know, I can't stand interpreting things. I don't like guessing. And, you know, we've talked about this a lot, but I even had a recent experience of, we were at a party, me and my fiance were at a party, and our other couple's there, and we were just joking around. And then my friend's wife said something sort of like, you know what she meant or something, but she said the opposite. And I was like, no, we don't work on that over here. We work on English. She says something, she means it. Exactly. Yeah. There's nothing to be guessed or interpreted. And man, it makes life so much better in a relationship because, I mean, everything is just out in front of you.
You get to that happy place, you know, you get to the happy place and everybody wants to be there. But the barrier between being there and, you know, or being in the dark, like you said, is the communication. You got to be effective with your words, but also know when to listen. Because communicating, for me, I'm a big listener. You know, I don't say a lot. You know, I like to listen. I take it all in. I'm a sponge. But a big part, man, I don't know, 80% for me of communication is listening, you know, to get to that happy place. You can hear what they're saying, and you don't always have to fix the problem. You just have to listen sometimes. But yeah, and then being effective with your words. Don't no arguing, like you said.
Discussion instead of our argument. Discussion. Yeah. We don't argue. We discuss things.
Yeah. Have a discussion. Exactly. Yeah. That's a big one, because once you you know, once the mouths get bigger, the ears get smaller. You know,
spit bars out here. That's a good one.
Well, yeah, that's definitely, I'll put that over here, because that's,
yeah, that, no, that's one. Definitely number one for me, if I had to make my list, which I mean, that might be a thing at the end for me, because I'm learning. I'm listening right now. No, man, communication is such a big one for me. I mean, down to like, I'm still now reaping the benefits of building those foundations of communication. Like, I mean, it wasn't that long ago where we were having a talk about something that was really, you know, bothering the both of us and just kind of like planning stuff like that. And it got to a point where I was like, look, this isn't going to be easy for me to say, and you're not going to like what I'm about to say, but I have to say it because it's got to go on the table. It's in my head. It's going on the table. And, you know, in any other situation I've ever been in, saying certain things that would just blow the other person up, and now we're not talking anymore. We're screaming. And to, I mean, those foundations of just being able to talk are like, I'm able to say the hard things in a pretty blunt way of like, you know, I'm not going to sugarcoat it. This is what I'm feeling. And it's received, and it's not, you know, it's received and processed, and then we work through it. It's not just like, oh, that hurt.
Yeah. It's really important for the other person. So if you have something you're bringing to the table that is difficult, it's really important for the other person to react accordingly, you know, like don't blow it up, because then it turns into something else. And then you're arguing about, you know, seven times.
Exactly. Yeah. Then all the old stuff starts coming into play.
Like, what are we even talking about anymore?
Yeah. You know? Yeah, next thing you know, you're arguing about who ate the last grapes.
Yeah. It's like, where did this come from? Like, we went from here to here. Somehow. Yeah. I don't even know how it got.
I mean, I've been in situations before where it's like, we get to an argument and you bring something up and they're like, no, it's, I reacted that way because of this thing, but they can't remember what the exact thing was. And it's like, we're so far, like you said, we're so far removed from the original topic. Yeah. We don't even know where we went.
Yeah. Yeah. And now not only are you arguing about that, which causes another problem, the original issue didn't get solved. So now you're stacking things up. And it's like, come on, like, how are we ever going to fix this?
Yeah. I mean, I would say it's such a massive thing in relationships. Man, that's a hard one, but I reckon I'd say that's one, if not the most important thing, at least in my relationship and just my short experience. But, I mean, like professionally, friends, guys don't really have as much as this problem as girls do, I feel like, but having like sour friendships or like, oh, he did this or they went out without me or something like that. It's just none of that. If you need to know something, ask me and I'll tell you straight up. And it's like, you know, just in every way almost, it's moved mountains for me.
It's better. Yeah. It takes all that stress off of you. Like you said earlier, like having to sugarcoat things that you want to say. Like how many people have not said something because it's difficult or delayed saying it because they want to say it the right way? And now that issue that you wanted to say 4 weeks ago is bigger because you never said anything because you tried to say it the right way to not.
And I've seen that so many times just in different friend groups or even with my friends or each other sometimes, or they'll make something small up instead of just saying like, I don't feel like hanging out. Like there's nothing wrong with saying, hey, I'm not feeling it today. But I know people who will be like, oh, I have this or da 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 da, and they get caught up and it's like, why are you lying to your friends? Just tell me.
It's like, man, you didn't go to Buffalo Wild Wings. Text Straight House. I saw you text Straight House. You posted.
Yeah, exactly.
Man, just want to hang out. You say you don't want
to
hang out.
I think that's easy for us to say, you know. But yeah, man, I've seen it. Just that lack of communication and what it can do. And the brilliant thing, like I said, is I've seen the benefits of it on the flip side. So it's like looking back, it's like looking through I'm looking at a zoo of myself from these bunch of years. And it's like, oh, what a dummy.
Yeah. And also like the communication, just like a pointer, tip, whatever it is, like, for me, communication is face to face. Like, it's hard to say, like, say you're texting or something. That is very difficult for someone to understand the way you're saying something. You know, even on a phone call, they can misinterpret what you're saying because they don't have your facial expressions or anything. Yet it's Like for me, communication about serious things needs to be face to face. There's no other way. You can't get around it.
This is like training wheel stuff that we need to be doing. It's like, these are the starting, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, man. That's a big one for me. I'm glad you put it on there.
It's hard. It's hard. Oh yeah. Yeah. I've got, humility.
Next. Something I need to work on. I like this.
I like that one a lot. I wouldn't say so. We give you a bunch of crap, but it's all out of love. And I don't see you gloating about yourself. It's usually us gloating about you. The other day, that was pretty funny. He said, Cam is not a real person.
Yeah, that's been the common thing. It's funny for me too, but...
No, I wouldn't say you got a problem with that. It's so, like, for me, humility is like, you got to be fun to be around. You know, you can't, if you're always like one-upping or comparing, you know, one-upping stories or comparing yourself to them, or gloating, whatever, it's just to make yourself look better. It doesn't make you look better. You know, it makes you look, I don't know, like you're, trying to compensate for a lack in your life or something, or I don't know. It just makes you not fun to be around when someone's always one-upping, you know. It's like, man, that's no good. The only person you really need to compare yourself to is who you were yesterday. You know, like, don't, like, there's no need to compare. Like, you're going to see this person driving that cool car. You're like, man, I really wish I had that cool car. I drive this, whatever, Ford Escort, you know, whatever. It's like that's not really doing you any good. You just need to compare yourself to who you were before, like yesterday, a week ago, a year ago. Even if you're not making day-to-day progress, like, mm-hmm. Who were you last year? Who were you a decade ago? I mean, I was, you know, I was pretty young a decade ago. Well, I was 20. I was about your age now. Some of the people you're going to be interviewing a decade yesterday. Ago is like, like a quick blink. If this is just audio, I blinked really fast.
Yeah, no, I like that. And it's like I said it as a joke, but it is still something I work on. Just kind of in my own thing. I think in different senses than the general term of humility, but. I think it's an extremely important thing. That's like, man, if I could say it in one thing that relates to what we're talking about here is like the guy who walks into a room, he's like, I'm the alpha, you know, if he wants the spotlight on him, like, obviously you're probably not, dude. Like if you have to scream it instead of people knowing it, then, man, I vividly remember I was 15. That was about a decade ago. That was a decade and 1 year. I was 15 and I was at my friend's house, and I remember I forget the topic, but I said something and then it clicked, and I was like, why do I make every conversation about me? Is every conversation that I'm in, people are having around me, anything, I just have to throw my two cents in and relate it to myself. And it was one of those things, and it made me quieter for a little bit because I didn't know what else to say or how else to contribute to conversations.
But
that click was like, and then looking back, I was just so embarrassed that for some time I was like, man, I was that guy to be around. And I didn't know it at the time that it was humility or whatever. I knew it was an unlikable trait that I didn't like about myself.
That's really interesting. I have mindfulness on there. It's one of my things.
I think humility has a lot of different, not practices, but applications. You know, you could be humble in many different ways, whether it's how you speak, how you act, you know, who you do things for, whatever. But, I think at the end of the day, I think there's a balance with things you do for yourself versus things you do for other people, maybe even through yourself.
Yeah. Yeah, I like another application, like you said, it ties back into forgiveness. Like it if someone did something to me, and say it was bad, and I forgave them for it, my job now isn't to go around and remind that person how I forgave them for this, and to bring it back up all every time. You know what I mean? It's like once you forgive, you forget. You forgive. You don't have to forget, but it's like you forgave them. Stop bringing it back up. Like be humble. If you forgive yourself, say like, man, this is a bad example because you should be proud of this. I was gonna say like an addiction. Oh, I got over an addiction and I forgave myself. But no, you should be definitely proud of getting over that stuff. But
I
yeah,
know what
I
you
can't
mean
think of
though.
an
It's
example I was
like I, you
thinking.
know, I know that there are situations where people hold things that they've done over people's heads and stuff like that. And it's like that's just it, you only did it so that you could have a coin now, you know.
Oh
You're
yeah.
trying, you did this thing so you could cash it in
Narcissism.
later, and that's just, you know, I don't need you in my life anymore, is where we're at.
That is a you should do 10 things, 10 opposite things, you know, bad
Oh,
things, bad traits
that'd be a good one,
over
yeah.
there. That'd be pretty good.
We're just shitting on people.
What I have. Oh,
If
mindfulness.
there's
Shitting
people watching the video, like, oh, fuck, I do
on
that.
Every one of us does, you know. No one's perfect. Every one of us does everything that we can name,
Or have
probably,
done at
you know.
least, yeah.
It's just a matter of, it's a matter of my next one, mindfulness, being mindful, you know. Not just with so being mindful with your body and your emotions, you know. If you see something, if you sense something's wrong with you, don't put yourself on the back burner. You need to like pause and fix that issue. You know, you can't do any of these traits or commandments without first like turning inward and realizing what you're saying, what you're doing, how you're acting, all those things. Like just be mindful of you know, everything, your emotions, your physical state, everything. You have to
It's like being aware
put the work
of
in.
all of your things. It's like
Oh yeah.
Lapera, I think so. Lapera said in her one book, like mindful breathing and realizing that you're in the moment. Just like take a second, breathe, realize like where you're at, what you're feeling, and it's like a practice to exactly to be mindful and aware of all these things that you're doing. You know why you do certain things and all that. I'm a big why guy, you know, playing the why game with myself. Why do I feel this way? Why did I react that way? And yeah, I think like you said, if you're able to look in, you know, good hard look in the mirror and realize a lot of the things and make reasons, then you're able to either change or continue or whatever it is. But that look is important. Really like analyzing yourself. Some people just coast through their actions, and it shows a lot of times.
For sure. That why the why game, how far
That
do you take that?
till it doesn't make sense anymore. My like really good buddy, one of my best friends. He actually, and I used to do it, but not to this extent. And I was going through a really bad breakup, and I wasn't taking it well at all. And then he basically told me that he's like, just play that game with yourself in your head. He goes, I do it every morning. And like, why do you feel this way? Answer it. Why is, you know, I feel this way. Or he was like, I feel mad. Why do you feel mad? Because she did this. Why do you care if she does that? You know, it's, and just till you're asking yourself, like, why did you wear that hoodie that day? And you're like, okay, this is a little too far gone.
But you can break it down to like the simplest things, and you know, the simpler the problem, the easier the fix. You know, it's if I have this huge problem, it's like, you know, all these numbers, but if I break down to just the littlest thing, it's like, okay, I have to do this, or I have to stop doing this. It's like asking yourself these
And I'll tell you
questions.
the
Yeah,
biggest
that's a
thing
good thing. I like that.
that I realized was when you start playing that and you, like you said, you break things down to make them super simple. For me, by the time I got to the end of it was like, the question was, why do I care about this anymore? And it's like, this is not just for the example I gave, but in things in general, it's like, you know, why is this a big deal to me? Oh, it's, I answered all the questions and it's not, you know, it shouldn't matter that much to me. Yeah. And then that click goes like, sick. Oh man, you know, I'm crying over spilled milk now. And yeah.
It's that ego. The ego is crazy. It's like, you don't care about it. There's like, I think there's like, like two different things, like self and ego. Your ego is the one that cares about all these things. And yourself is the one asking those questions. So it's like, why do I care about it? Your ego, you finally get to it. It's like, I don't care about it, but I did it anyway. It's like, my ego made me do this. So it's like getting that ego under control.
That's an interesting way of looking at ego. I like that a lot. I don't think we've had that breakdown yet, but it makes sense where, you know, you're getting, it's like the angel and the devil, you know, and a lot of times the devil can have some good ideas or whatever, but most of the time he's acting out of, you know, a weird place.
Yeah. Selfishness. Couldn't say.
But yeah, that was mindfulness, right? Yeah.
That was mindfulness and, discipline I have next, which, I guess can tie into the mindfulness too, being disciplined enough to, you know, implement those changes into your life or habits that, you know, make you realize things, you know, your breathing, anything like that, asking yourself those questions, being disciplined to actually do those things. Because you can be mindful, but that's not really helping if you're not doing anything about it. You'd be like, oh, I acted crazy today. And then that's the end of it. No, that's the beginning of it. That's you figured out what happened. Now there's the discipline to, you know, fix it, like hold yourself accountable, you know, actually change the things you need to change. Yeah. That's discipline.
I mean, I feel like we could make a thing for just about any attribute, but I think an explanation for just about any attribute, but I think discipline is very, people just kind of wash over it a lot of times. And people don't think that, you know, making your bed every day takes discipline, or, you know, eating right or whatever. Like, oh, I'm just on a diet. And there's a lot of people that don't think they have the discipline or the strength to do things. Meanwhile, they're, you know, just default going to the gym every single day, you know? And it's like, in my opinion, it's like a form of strength, just like the gym. It's like the more that you practice these reps and doing things, the easier it's like, okay, I want to run a mile every single day for 30 days. And most people look at you like, that's crazy. I could never do that. Meanwhile, you know, if you're doing these other things, it's like 30 days is no big deal. And I have the discipline for that.
No. Yeah. Yeah. And like you said, it gets washed over a lot because it really is, to me, simple. It's hard to get to that point, but it's simple. It's a simple concept. You have to be disciplined. There's no real explanation about like, okay, well, what do I need to be disciplined? It's just, you need to be disciplined for every aspect of your life.
For anything you do. I get what you're saying. I get what you're saying. It's like, I mean, you could tie it into anything else. Like, I want to work on my communication. Okay. Be disciplined. Don't let your emotions take over and actually talk about this. You know, I want to work on my humility, be disciplined and don't do these practices that, you know, aren't, you know, being humble of yourself and all these other things. So I think it is very generalized, but like I said, like you said, as well, as that it just gets washed over. I mean, I think people, either don't think about it or take it away from the conversation because they don't think it applies. But I think, like you said, it is like an every aspect thing that, you know, us hopping on that, like, you know, taking time and hopping on this thing every Monday is, you know, staying disciplined and really pumping this stuff out. And, you know, it does really good with everything.
I think another reason it gets washed over is because it's hard if someone were to ask you, like, how do I become more disciplined? That's a hard question to answer. It's
yeah.
Okay. Well, let me finish this and then. So for me, it's someone asked me, how do I become disciplined? The answer is be disciplined. You like do these things constantly over and over again, and it will click and you're going to apply these things to different areas of your life. It's like, it's hard to explain
how, I get what you're saying.
How to get to that point. I think you just like one more thing, like the, people look for motivation all the time. You know, it's like, oh, I want to be, I'll get in the gym once I get the motivation, but it's like, you got to get in the gym. You got to be disciplined. Just force yourself to do it over and over and over again. And I think it's as simple as that. Like you're going to fail, but bring yourself back to that base and okay, I failed. It's okay. Forgive yourself and get back to it. You know?
Yeah. So, okay, so I get what you're saying is that the explanation is difficult because there's no, there's really no explanation for it other than do it. It's essentially, it's what you're exactly what you were saying. But I mean, if somebody asks me like, how do I become more disciplined? You know, start with something small. Has the same thing. I mean, we've talked about this before, like make your bed every day. I know it's really easy to roll out of it, but you make your bed every single day for 3 months and then look back like, oh shit, I did it and it was easy. And I'm step it up a notch, you know, drink a 16 ounce glass of water every morning when you wake up. And no matter what, you're like, man, I think if I drink this, my tummy's going to be upset. Drink it, you know? Start with small, easy stuff. And it really just, it gets so easy.
Just compounds.
You know?
Like that. Yeah, it starts small.
That's stuff I practice. I don't know. I keep gravitating towards the make your bed thing because I heard it on a podcast one time and I started doing it. And then I was like, man, this is really, I feel really good. You get a win every morning. Like, okay. I think so.
Admiral?
Yeah, it was. Yep.
Yeah. Admiral. Yeah. That was a good speech.
start with something easy, knock it out for a long time and then reflect on it. I don't want to throw my own stuff into your list, but, I think this relates, which is like, count your wins, man. Like there's a lot of people who will do that and then they'll never reflect. So you never reap the benefits emotionally. You know, there's a lot of people who will go to the gym for 2 years and do crazy things. And then something happens and they fall off for a few months and they gain weight and that's all they can focus on. It's like, dude, you killed it for however long you did.
Yeah.
Reflect on that. Look at the win and that'll boost you up. Like, okay, I want to get back in there now. Yeah.
Yeah. It's possible. Yeah. Okay. I like that. That's awesome. I like that a lot, man. What number?
Stop counting.
6, 7, 8. I think we're on. So 7.
Okay.
So I got 8. I have being a protector. Ooh. You know, like protecting not just physically but emotionally too. Everyone thinks of, you know, being a protector as like, oh, I gotta like, you know, get huge and you know, do karate and be able to fight 10 guys at the same time, you know, while drunk at the bar. Like that is part of it, but it is a part of it. I mean, you can't get around that. It is a part of it, but also being emotionally there for your people, you know, be that safe space that they can come to and vent or cry, whatever they need to do. Just, you know, be that space, protect them, you know, protect them from other things. Which is, that also leads into my other one. But, I don't want to say it. Well, whatever. Decisiveness is my next one. But I'll talk about this. Like all the hard decisions, you know, you can protect your partner or whoever it is from making these hard decisions by doing it yourself. That's my decisiveness one. But that's also a way to protect them from, you know, from themselves, from overthinking things.
Yeah, whatever it may be. Being a protector, like you said, has a lot more than just the physical aspect of it. Like depends on how you wrap your mind around, you know, like what a man is supposed to do for a family or whatever. But if you're in a position where maybe you're a little bit more old school, or you're a lot more like Fred, and that's you're like, okay, you're going to make some babies and I'm going to provide. If you can't provide anymore, you're not protecting them financially. Mm-hmm. You know, you're not, if something happens to them, you can't pay for a medical visit or something like that. Like it really just boils down to like taking care of your own, and making everything a comfortable space. I mean, this is a whole nother topic. We could make a whole episode about just this, but, you get to a point where if you're not protecting, or they feel like monetarily, physically, emotionally, anything, and then, you know, it could get to a point where your partner feels that you're not worth it. You're not holding up your end of the deal of being a man in this relationship. And it's oh shit, you know, I gotta step it up and put it on the commandments list. It's like, I have to be a protector. This is my responsibility mm-hmm. as a man. And if you don't abide by that, you know.
Yeah. That's one of the hardest ones, I'd say, because it's not easy making more money so you can do these things. You know, it's not easy, you know, getting a purple belt in Brazilian jiu-jitsu. Mm. None of that stuff's easy. It's hard stuff. You know, just carry a gun or something. Or some nunchucks. But
myself in the forehead as I pull them out. It's just, I'm knocked out.
But the financial part of it, it's hard. The emotional part of it is a little easier. The physical part, I'd say, is the easiest. But, you know, financially, it's hard. Yeah. It can be hard out there, you know, it's like, oh, this medical bill came up. It's $15,000. What do I do? You know, that's hard. So, yeah, this is that's one of the more tough ones, because it's multifaceted, you know.
Yeah, it's one of the ones that you can't just decide, like wake up and decide you're going to do if you're not in the position to. But, I mean, in a lot of ways, start small. If you need to be more available to, you know, emotionally or whatever. No, I think that's a good one. One that I wouldn't have thought of, but it's, you know, very important. It's what's expected, I think. From a man, and especially in a relationship, that's one of the expectations, that you're going to be, you know, protected by this person.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. Absolutely. I mean, I don't know any person that would want to be in a relationship where they don't feel secure. You know, that's a weird thing. Like I said, decisiveness, this also ties into the decisiveness with the emotional part of it. Like, I think I said already, but don't make your partner make all the hard decisions, you know, protect them emotionally from having to deal with the overthinking and all that kind of stuff, you know? And when it is a big decision that they are, you know, not, available to make, I guess, what do you say? Make the decision graciously, you know, make it, you know, consult with them, how they feel about this. Don't just hammer down, this is how it's going to be. Always make the decisions with their best interest in mind, as well as yours, with the families or the whatever relationship it may be, with everyone's best interest in mind, not just your own. But being decisive is
I think there's a time and a place for how, I don't want to call it aggressive, but how blunt that you come at this, because I mean, there's a time and a place for, like we talk about it at work. Like maybe we know the problem on this jet and we say, okay, this is the fix, but I need to pose it to the boss to, you know, this is how, so I'm going to pose it as a question. Mm-hmm. I'm not telling him this is what we're doing. I'm saying, this is the fix, you know, offering it, offering a solution.
I think we should do this, not we should do this. I think we should do this because so
there's
of this.
There's a time and a place for that. And then there's a time and a place for like, all right, it's go mode. This is what's going on. You know, absolutely. You know what kind of happened recently, and it was one of those, it was the first time I've been presented with this, and it clicked, and I thought about this and the conversations we've had and what I've learned from you guys. And, you know, my fiance wasn't in a good place. Something happened with our family, and, you know, she was kind of wrecking out, and it was like, okay, this isn't a time for her to be making decisions about anything. Said, get in the car. We're going here. We're doing this. This is, you're going to do this. Mm-hmm. I'm going to do this with you. And it's like, all right, now it's time to be a man, create this road, and you don't have to think about anything right now other than what's going on, you know?
Yeah. That's like, that's that safe space, the trust for her to just fall back into her emotions and let you take the lead is really important. I could put trust on there. I don't know how I would word it, but yeah, trust. And then, the communication to trust communication, because there, like you said, there are times where you have to put the hammer down. This is what we're doing. We're doing it right now. Don't ask questions, because you know, sometimes, the situation warrants that. But if there's trust and if you've worked on communication, after the dust settles, the other person can understand why you were abrasive or why you were aggressive, you know? Yeah. But no, for sure, there is a time and place to be aggressive, assertive, and make those decisions on the fly. Because, you know, there's not all the time in the world. You can't hit the pause button and think it through all the time.
Mm. Yeah. That's a good one. Yeah. Funny enough, I just came up with this question, but I think I'd like to, I'm going to write it down because I'd like to pose this to the rest of the guys. Give me 1 second. All right. So I reckon I know your answer, but when you were thinking about these things, kind of explain, you know, where you were at, why you know, where you went to come to these conclusions, but also, kind of, I don't know how else to word it other than where you were making them from. Was it from a point of view of, yourself, like a first person, third person, or like a future dad, or, you know, I'm sure a lot of these guys like Dave will, his whole list will be, you know, in reference to his son, his family. And this is why, you know, what was your why for them as a bulk?
I think it's a combination of, looking at myself in the mirror now, looking at who I want to be, looking at, you know, good role models, you know, inspirations, I'm not doing every one of these things on the list, you know, it's, I can get better. Yeah. I'm trying is the thing. I'm trying. It's hard. All this stuff is hard, to do on a consistent basis. It's not hard to do one day. You know, you can forgive somebody one day, and then the next day, you know, be at their throat again for the same thing. But, yeah, it was just, mainly who I want to be in the future, who I want to be tomorrow, you know, is what I base my list on. I'm doing some of these things though, you know, I'm doing all of them to a certain degree. You can always get better. And that's what I'm striving to do is get better.
That's where this idea came from, was like, what are you practicing? It's like, I think of it in a way how people who are doctors are practicing medicine, and it's kind of an interesting thing. It's like, they're always practicing to learn more, do better, whatever. And it's like, what commandments are you practicing to be a man would be a better way of forming my question.
Because
it's like, all these things take work, and they all take constant work. Life changes, and all of a sudden, you know, something happens and you don't have as much humility as you did last year. It's like, okay, got to step on that one for a little bit.
But that's like I said, I think it's just a matter of who I want to be, you know, looking at who I am now, looking at others, and looking at who I want to be. That's where I came up with it all. So That's my eight. Maybe I can throw trust on two more.
You got nine. Yeah.
For a little bonus. I can throw trust on that. That's an easy one. That's easy. Came up with that together.
Put an asterisk on it. Yeah. Oh, well, this is awesome. This went, I'm not going to say better than I expected, but it went really, really well. I'm glad.
I'm a listener. Like
no,
I said
that was the.
Yeah. So being on the hot seat and being the one to talk for 45 minutes.
That was the other goal was to get you, get everybody kind of their own spotlight kind of thing. And it's fun to be in the interviewer seat as well. I'm more of a question asker than a question answerer.
I am too. Yeah.
Yep. But all right. We're going to close this out. Hopefully you guys enjoy it. Hopefully you're watching on YouTube. You can see our beautiful faces. Josh more beautiful than me, obviously. And
real quick though.
Oh,
my top three. I'm not going to elaborate. I'm just going to name them: communication, mindfulness, and being a protector.
I like that. Yeah, it's awesome. Yeah. Yep. Yeah. All right. Well, yeah. Hopefully you're watching on YouTube. If not, come over and check us out. You know, take a look at us while we're talking. Like, subscribe, all that good stuff helps us get it out and share it. If you don't do anything else, just share it. Just so it might reach somebody who could use these things, you know. I think that's all. See y'all later.
And your mustache is beautiful, and your whole face. So it's not just it's not me that's.
Don't. I'm gonna see you tomorrow. I'm gonna make sure you know how appreciative I am.
All right.
All right. See you guys.